The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
And what I really want to reiterate this morning are simple truths that we know, but these are things that we really have to have a hold of for our own lives, because that's the only way that they are going to be able to be a part of us. Because what I'm going to share this morning is what we need to make sure that we share to the world around us, because it really makes a difference. You know, when he was talking about this thought of that was not enough, and it's not enough, it wasn't then, it wasn't enough until Jesus. And for us in our life, it's not enough until Jesus. For the world around us and people that are striving to try to get things right with God in any other way, it's not enough until Jesus. It's not enough for them. It's not enough for us until Jesus steps in. And I've got to think in those verses, so they're so powerful. When this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, it was done. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. I like it. It says, by this one sacrifice, he has ever set free from sin the people he brings to God. Now, in the Message Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, 14 says it this way. I love it. It says, it was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. Well, that is so good. See, the good news today for us is that Jesus has stepped in. The good news for us tomorrow, for our tomorrows, is that Jesus will step in. You know, the gospel, when you think about the gospel, when Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he says, my brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to remind you of this good news that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. I'm going to hang on to that word, of his first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried in and he was raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the entirety, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he came, he died, he was buried, he's resurrected. So when we think about this idea that Jesus came and died for our sins and he was buried according to the Scriptures, that is only half. Just half the message. And we need to understand the other half, that he was also raised to life on the third day according to the Scriptures. So Jesus died for sin. He was raised again so that. This is where we really, you know, the world around us, you know, they are trying to have some kind of a mental ascent. They're trying to believe, but they're not understanding what Jesus really appropriated for us through his death and resurrection. So they're at this loss. See, this all happens so that we can live a new life. See, because the world around us is wanting a new life. Before I ever knew Jesus, I knew the life I was living was not the one that I wanted. I need a different life. I needed a new life, but I had no idea how to get it. See, we have been freed from the bondage of sin, made alive unto God, and this is the good news. So for us, and when we're communicating to others, we need to understand, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that we are buried with him through baptism. In other words, when we come to this place, a profession of faith in Christ, and we go through this rite of baptism, this symbolism that when you go down under the water, it symbolizes your profession, your belief in Jesus, and your profession that you are going to die to sin, to your old life, and coming up out of the water, you are going to now live a new life. You're going to be raised up out of the water, just like as Christ was raised from the dead Even so, we should understand what has happened and we should walk in this newness of life. See, the application of the gospel is twofold. So you have faith, repentance, and forgiveness. So I believe what Jesus has done. I turn from my sin and I ask for forgiveness and I've been forgiven. But the second part of that, having done this, I do have a new standing. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't even matter what's going on in here. If I have truly confessed and received Christ, there's something different. And we need to know that. And we need to let others know that, because the enemy will constantly say, you think with just words that's going to happen? You think that just because you went in the water, you're different? No, what makes us different is a new life that Christ gives. So we have this new standing. We're right before God. We're innocent. We've been forgiven. We have this new life because the Spirit of God is living in me. And because of that, I have this ability to live out this new life. And this is the very foundation of faith. We got to get this right. That's why I think that Paul says, here's what I want you to know. Here is what is of first importance. Now, you know that he's talking to this church in Corinth that is messed up. And he's just drilling down. Look, you need to get this. This is the truth that always needs to be in front of you, that you need to keep reminding yourself of before anything else. See, the reality that Jesus said on the cross in John 19, 30, it is finished. He was in essence saying at that moment, there was nothing left undone. The payment for sin was now paid. Divine justice was satisfied. All the prophecies about him were fulfilled to this point. His work on earth was done. And now, because of his resurrection, the next work for him to complete will be done from heaven, because he is there, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. So the cross basically said it is finished. The penalty for sin has been paid. The resurrection, though, says now it begins. Well, now what begins? Because of what Christ has done, because of the resurrection, we now have this possibility of living a new life. His divine power, as 1 Peter, 2 Peter says, has been imparted into our life. We have these exceeding great, he says, and precious promises that by these we can be partakers of this divine nature, this life that he's given, and we can escape an old life and we can walk into a new life. You know, the reason I'm bringing this up, and I really want to drill it down, is you, like me, there are so many that name the name of Christ. They believe in some way that he died for their sins and that he was resurrected, but my concern is that they have not fully embraced what he's promised. I mean, we see it all the time, people tripping over stuff because they don't understand this simple truth. I think that there are many unbelieving believers. They agree with the gospel. He died, he rose again. Okay. But they've not allowed the power of the gospel to change them. They've not allowed the work of God in their life to accomplish the fullness of what he's trying to accomplish. See, when you receive Jesus, there is a Spirit of God imparted into your life, and it is a liberating power in your life. It frees you to not have to live an old life, and it empowers you to live a new life. If you just turn to your neighbor, and those of you that have, let me just say it this way, some of us have been raised up in church, and we know this in a certain way, because we understand that when we finally got to that place where there was a real realization of who Jesus was, and you didn't wander into sin like I did and some others. But for me, there's just a stark reality about the life that I did live and the life that I now live. And I just dropped back to December 3rd, 1978, when I gave my heart to Jesus. In the few months that followed, there's just a stark difference of what my life looked like. See, we need to be able to carry this message. This was the gospel. This is what Paul said. Here's what I want you to know before anything else. You got to have these truths locked in. And the people around us, they need to know these truths. Do you realize that if you would merely just share the gospel, how Jesus died, was buried, was raised again to give us new life, and you share your testimony, there is this power because God moves through that because that's the message that he's using whereby he wins men to himself. The hope of a new life. The hope of not being separated, the reality of a truth that you can hear that, yes, because I received Jesus, my sin no longer separates me, but I can come. I can now draw near to God because of this. I don't know about you, but I've never heard the gospel. December 3rd, 1978, I did. December 3rd, 1970, I had no idea what I was doing, but God used that little truth and just pulled at me. See, there's power in this message. That's why Paul said, this is of first importance for me. It's first importance for me because I got to be reminded every day when I'm walking into my Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays that God has not only forgiven my sin, but he's empowered me. He's lived with me so that I can begin to walk out a new life. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting to me to know that I don't have to be tripped up any longer. Good stuff. See, we need to, like it was Ralph brought it up, we need to really grab a hold of these truths in the macro. The big, you know, Jesus died for my sins, and I have this new life, and I can live this new life. But we need to understand it and apply it to the micro in our daily living, our day-to-day life, when we face whatever it may be. And on Wednesday, we're talking from tragic circumstances of life. How could God be in the middle of my life in this just broadsiding my life? And yet he is. And yet he is. See, because he's with us. The thing that we need to get, he's with us. He walks with us. He empowers us. He enlightens us. It is not just I'm distant from him, but I'm near him. He's with us. So for us to find him is to find that we have enough so we can begin to move ourselves forward into our Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and whatever life hits us. Doug, why don't you guys come up? You know, it's this knowing. It's this trusting him to lead, to guide, and empower so that we can honor him and what we want to do. See, this priest, again, one time he offered the sacrifices for sin. It was this perfect sacrifice by this perfect person. When you look in the mirror to perfect us who are imperfect, to do a work in our life, to complete a work in our life. See, the admonition that in Hebrews chapter 10 that they read from, following after verse 10, 11 through 14, I'm going to paraphrase. We're free to come before God because Jesus opened up a way for us to be able to approach God through what he has done, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. See, we can draw near to God, and we should have confidence drawing near to God as we believe these truths, which help us, I don't know about you, but really help us hold on to hope, this hope, not hesitating about that hope. See, we can trust what he's promised, and the one who has done all this, who promised all this, he is faithful. He is faithful. You know, I've said it so many times. How do you know that God can provide? When you really need provision. How can you know that He is a defender when you need defending? How can you really know God's a healer when you need healing? How do you know that He is the God of all comfort? It is when you can find comfort nowhere else. And in that time when you think you can't find it anywhere else and you don't even think God is there, some point at time in your life, the Spirit of God just tugs at your heart and He just begins to open it up. And as you open it up, He just, He comforts. So sometimes the adversities, the difficulties only validate and solidify the truth. See, He keeps His word. He did it in the past. He's going to do it in the future. He hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So don't lose your confidence. There's a great reward. Reading to the end of the chapter, all we need is just a little endurance, a little stick-to-itiveness. You know what that means to me and what God has always said to me? Tracy, just take another step. He didn't say run. He just said, Tracy, just take another step. Now another. Now another. And now another. And me like you, we find He's enough. You really see that He didn't bail. He didn't leave. He's there. He's always there. Remember when the religious leader says to Jesus, you know, what is the work that we need to do? He said, well, what you need to do is you need to believe in the one that God has sent. And Jesus was saying, I'm the one. Do you believe this? See, the one who is coming will come soon. He's not going to delay. And the person who is right with God will live by believing Him.